Good morning, congregation. Welcome to worship on this beautiful Sunday. It's good to gather as God's people to worship and praise Him. Also, a special welcome to those worshiping with us online through our video link. A special word of welcome to the many visiting in our midst. As you can see, we've got some girls dressed in their colorful uniforms this morning. It's GEMS Sunday, and I see a lot of guests with us whose, I'm guessing, daughters or granddaughters are part of our GEMS program. So we pray also that you feel welcomed and enjoy your worship with us today. After the service, there is coffee and refreshments in the fellowship hall, and you are indeed welcome to join us. And I think I heard something about maybe cookies or something like that as well. Please do stay and join us also after the service. One other announcement this morning, and that is that there is a women's simulcast event that is happening here at our church on May the 6th. Today is the last day to kind of sign up, so if you are still interested in attending or would like more information, Hetty Kramer is the one to talk to, so if you don't know who Hetty is, come talk to me after the service. I can point you to Hetty, but otherwise talk to Hetty because there is still a little bit of space left available, and they would love to have more women join them for that event. Now, congregation, as we're gathered this morning, we gathered to praise God. And so at this time, I'm going to invite you, if you are able, to stand as we sing our gathering song, 10,000 Reasons. These words from the Gospel of John, from 1 John chapter 3. This is what John writes: "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we might be called the children of God. And that, he says, is what we are. We are loved by God. Brothers and sisters, receive the greeting of our God. May grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father, from Jesus Christ, the risen Lord, his Son, through the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. And all God's people say, Amen. I invite you to remain standing as we sing our next song of praise, Let All Things Now Living, number 5 in our hymnals.
Tell you a little bit about the GEMS program that we've had this year. I want to thank all the parents for bringing their girls to GEMS. We really enjoy getting to know them all, and it's a fun time to have together and get to know them. I want to thank all the counselors that helped this year. We had Ingrid Zollmerman, Nicole Kramer, thank you for joining after Cassandra DeWeird left after having a baby, so, and Irena Grutenbohr also. So thank you for helping out. So things we did this year, we always do an opening and a game. We have a Bible study together and craft or games nights. Some special things, we did an Advent calendar craft, which was a lot of fun. We did puppets, which you'll see some puppets later that we made. And we had... we went sledding one time in the winter, and we had our annual GEM sleepover, which the girls always look really forward to. they were great. I couldn't fall asleep, but that was because it was too cold. The girls went to bed when we told them, pretty much. They were really great this year. I think that's kind of the gist of what we do, but thanks again for letting your girls be in this program. So if I can have the GEMS just stand up, I'm going to ask them what their motto is. GEMS, what does the Lord require of you?
To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. Micah 6, verse 8.
All right, and now the GEMS are going to come up, and we're going to do a song that we've been singing all year.
For 50 years, girls and women from generation to generation have been uniting their voices to recite Micah 6 verse 8 in their GEMS club. Whether their club is in Canada, the U.S., Uganda, or 13 other countries, it sounds like this. Dresden, CRC, GEMS, and GEMS leaders, what does the Lord require of you? This is who God is. In grateful response to who He is and what He's done for us through Jesus, we act, love, and walk. Equipped with God's words and compelled by His love, these girls are making a difference as they act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with God. Let's encourage them, pray for them, and join them, because Micah 6 verse 8 isn't just for GEMS girls, it's for all. Are you ready? Olivia.
Children, stand up. Come up for the children message.
I'm going to have you sit here in front of me. Can you come over here, you guys? I want you to sit and look towards here. Come over here. I'm going to sit down with you, okay? So I come join this way. We're going to see this curtain here. Come closer this way, you guys. Come, but you're going to be looking this way, okay? See where the curtain is there? We have a special presentation for you, but you got to come. You might want to turn around so you can see it, okay? So at GEMS this year, we did the puppet badge. And I thought, hey, wouldn't it be great if we did a puppet skit for children's message on GEMS Sunday? So do you guys think you could listen really well and be very quiet as the GEMS present their puppet play? Because we might have a couple questions for you after, okay? So if you can all just be quiet, I want to introduce my friend Jennifer.
Hi, this year at GEMS, we learned that we all need to act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God. So I thought of some great ways that I can do this and help change the world. Maybe I could be a nurse, teacher, reporter, superhero, policewoman, even a missionary. Oh, I can't wait to get out there and be all these things. Oh, Lucy, could you quiet down over there? I'm trying to think of ways I can change the world. But I stubbed my toe and hurt. Oh, Lucy, pull yourself together. Don't you know there are people that need my help in this world? Shake it off, it's just a stubbed toe.
Okay.
Little sisters can be so needy. I wish she'd just leave me alone. Anyways, I need to go get out in the world and see who needs my help.
Hey, Jennifer, I'm glad I caught you this morning. I thought it might be nice to do some morning devotions and pray together. Want to join me?
I would if I could, but I don't need any help. Have time. I need to go out into the world and do big things to help people. I'll see if I can squeeze in a couple of minutes of Bible time and prayer another time in the week.
Oh, well, okay, but you know that God wants to...
Sorry, Grandpa. Church is tomorrow. I'll worship with you then. I gotta go. See ya. Hi, Mom. I was just about to head out and see how I can change the world.
Oh, you are? I was kind of hoping you could help me with a few things around the house today.
Sorry, Ma, I can't do that. People need out there who need my help.
There are? I haven't heard that. I really hoped you would help me with a few things. I slept terrible last night. I have to make food for the family gathering tomorrow. Clean the bathroom, tidy the house, finish the laundry, and get a few more groceries.
Sorry, Mom, there are fires to put out. People who need my healing. Things on the loose. I gotta go change the world.
Wait, Jennifer, what are you talking about?
Well, at Gems, we learned that we can be world changers. Once I heard that, all these ideas came to my mind of big things I could do. So I thought I'd get out there and do it today.
Oh, Jennifer, I'm so glad you're taking your Gems lessons to heart. But I think you're missing something from the lesson, though. One day, maybe you'll be a doctor or firefighter. But today, God has put you here, just as you are, to be a world changer. Your little sister came up to me and said she had a sore toe and you were being mean to her about it. Maybe you should have been a world changer by giving her a hug until she felt better. And I heard you talking to Grandpa about devotions. Don't you think it would have been a great part of your day to spend time with him and worship God?
I guess I never thought of it that way. Now that I think of it, Gems counselors did say that we can be world changers in so many different ways.
Well, what other ways can you be a world changer?
I could clean my room, walk the dog, pray for my friends, read my Bible, and even make pie.
How can you guys be a world changer?
What ways do you guys think that you could be a world changer? Can you think of something you could do just at home? What do you think, Marita? To help people, who could you help at your house? Your parents, when they ask you to help them with stuff, you should have a good heart and a good attitude and help them. What do you think? How could you help people at home?
God.
You could pray to God for them, right? Anybody else have an idea? Anybody else? Marita, you had one more? To read the Bible, yeah. And then you learn how to, what about you, Carmen D? To be nice. Yeah, like when she stubbed her toe, Jennifer was thinking, hey, I can go change the world, but her sister was crying right there and she totally ignored her. But she could have given her a big hug, right? She missed the whole point of the lesson. She needs to help people who she's there with in that day, in that moment. All right, let's say a prayer, okay? Dear Jesus, I thank you for all these children that can come to church and learn about you. Help them to grow and to know and love you throughout their lives and serve you. Amen. All right. Okay, you can now go to Sunday school, is what the puppet said. All right? So, I think that's ages, grade 3 years old to grade one. So, Carmen D, you can go down for Sunday school, okay?
It's my privilege at this time to lead us in our congregational prayer. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your many blessings to us. Lord, we thank you for who you are and what you have done. Lord, we thank you for creating this world and sustaining it. Lord, for making this world such a wonderful place. Lord, we thank you for springtime, where we see the flowers that are all through now, this early spring ones. Lord, where we see the green haze that is now on the trees as all the buds are coming in. Lord, we thank you for the warmth and the sunshine. Lord, and we pray, Lord, that this season may be one of renewed commitment also to serving you. Lord, we pray for this springtime. We pray for especially the farmers in our midst who are also getting busy and preparing, spreading fertilizer and working on equipment. Lord, getting ready to plant. Lord, we pray for a good and productive season for them. Lord, we pray for those others who also work in other industries, Lord, and pray that that they too may feel also your blessing as they seek to serve you. Lord, we pray for the GEMS program this morning. Lord, we're thankful for the women who help lead this program and for the GEMS who are part of it. We thank you that week in and week out, they can find out more about who you are and what it means, Lord, to seek to live for you. Lord, to love mercy. Lord, to act justly and to walk humbly with you. Lord, may that be not just what the GEMS seek to do, but as we already said in our litany, may that also be what we seek to do each and every day, that our actions, our thoughts, and our deeds, Lord God, bring honor and glory to you. Lord God, we lift up before you this morning the needs of our congregation. Lord, we pray for the office bearers who are being connected with and talked to, Lord, about letting their name stand for council. Lord, we pray for all those. Lord, we pray for those who struggle in different ways. Lord, we pray for those who have loved ones who suffer from Alzheimer's or dementia, Lord, or from depression. Lord, and we ask that you give them what they stand in need of as they walk these difficult roads. We pray, Lord, for those who need physical healing. Lord, we pray for Brenda Goodrow and ask that you continue to be near to her, Lord, with her struggles. Be with those, Lord, whose conditions are ongoing or chronic. Lord, who have difficulty walking or with cancer or with hearing or stomach issues. Lord, you know the many challenges that our people face, and pray, Lord God, that you are able to work in and through them. Lord, to heal them if that is your will, or to enable them to have the strength to carry on if that is the challenge that you have given them to bear. Lord, we pray that as we continue in our worship service this morning, that the words that we read from Scripture in a few moments, Lord, that the message that is proclaimed, that the words that we sing can all bring honor and glory to you. Lord, may our words, may our actions show our love for you, not because we have to, but because we want to, because we desire to live for you. Lord, guide us and keep us and protect us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. At this time, I'm going to invite one of the GEMS forward, Angelica, and she's going to share with us our scripture passage from Micah chapter 6, verse 8. So if you open your Bibles there, it's on page 903, and you're going to read the first 8 verses. So from here all the way to there. One second.
Listen to what the Lord says. Stand up, plead your case before the mountains. Let the hills hear what you have to say. Hear, O mountains, the Lord's Akashtan. Listen, you everlasting foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a case against his people. He has a lodging, a charge against Israel. May my people, what have I done with you? Have I burdened you? Answer me, I brought you up out of Egypt and redeemed you from the land of slavery. I sent Moses to lead you, also Aaron and Miriam. My people redeemer, what Balak king of Moab consulted, and what Balaam son of Beor answered. Remember your journey from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the righteousness acts of the Lord. With that shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God. Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with a calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my tenderest transgression, the Lord of my body for the sin of my soul? He has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God.
Thank you, Angelica. Now, girls, I'm going to do something that I don't often do, and I'm actually going to come right up here. I'm going to steal, I think this was your stand, Riella. I hope that's okay. You might need to move stuff over again afterwards. I'm going to use this stand right here, and I'm going to talk to you kind of from right here. Now, girls, hopefully some of you opened your Bibles, because I'm going to actually be talking about the verses and the passage that Angelica just read for us. And I don't know if any of you noticed it, but the language that Micah uses here in our text this morning is actually words that are often used in court. Now, if I asked you girls to put up your hands, and I'm going to ask some questions, and so I hope that you guys will respond with me, but have any of you girls ever been to court? Have any of you guys been to court? Oh, one person has been to court. Yes, yes, I know, Mrs. Zornman, that you've been to court. I think the last time we were in court, it was together. The last time we were in court was actually just over 10 years ago. And do you guys have any idea why we would have to go to court? I'll give you a hint. Yeah, it's somebody that's your age, Riella. Very good, Riella. It's for the adoption of our son, Adrian. When our adoption was finalized, we got to go before the court, and the judge made a ruling, and Adrian was now part of our family. And so for us, going to court was a pretty happy time. But do you think court is often a happy time for people? No, you guys are shaking your heads. What typically happens in court? Do you guys know what happens in court? Yeah, you got an idea? What kind of stuff usually happens in court? You solve mysteries, or you try to figure out what's going on, right? You'd have, like, maybe over here, you'd have somebody who's being accused of something, and you'd have a judge over here or a lawyer over here, right? And then you'd have another one over here, and then there'd be like a judge sitting way up high or something, and then you've got some people kind of watching, a jury, and then the lawyers say, rah, 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 and rah, 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 right? And they kind of argue back and forth, and you did something wrong, and you did this. Well, that's actually what's happening here in the passage that Angelica read for us today. That's actually the setting there. And it's interesting. Do you girls have your Bibles open? Because in that passage, Micah actually calls a jury. He says, stand up and plead your case. And who does he tell them? Look there at verse 1. Who does he say to plead your case before? Plead your case before the, what does it say, girls? Yeah? Before the mountains. So he's calling the mountains to kind of be the judge and the jury. He's calling something that's been there for a really long time to be the witnesses, to see what is going on, something wise and experienced. And now today, in our world, we have a courthouse, and when you go to a courthouse, you have a special a place for that. But here in Micah, it's not actually a special building that Micah calls the people to. He says, everybody gather together, gather together, come join together. Have any of you girls been to like the Dresden Night Market when it's here in town? And like, how is it, pretty empty or pretty full in town? It's pretty full, right? Everybody comes, even from farther away, right? That's kind of what's going on here. Micah's like, everybody come. Come listen. Somebody hasn't done what they're supposed to do. That's the setting here. And so everybody gathers. Everybody comes to see what's going on because somebody hasn't done what they're supposed to be. That's why there's this court case. That's why they're in court. And then the people find out who's actually on trial. Verse 2, for the Lord, the end of verse 2, has a case against, who does he have a case against there, verse 2? For the Lord has a case against his, yeah, go ahead, his people. All of a sudden, all the people that are gathered, everybody who's come to watch, they're the ones that are on trial. Oh. Okay, well, I guess we're on trial, so let's find out what is going on. Now, I talked about that court case earlier. Remember when we had like a lawyer over here for the one side and a lawyer over here for the other side? And what do they usually do? Do they usually say nice things to each other? Or they're usually kind of like, you did this wrong, right? I did not, you did that wrong, right? They kind of argue back and forth. Well, look at verse 3. Look at how this court case starts. Ready for the explosion? Ready for the roar? What does verse 3 say? My people. Does that sound like anger or yelling? No, it's a term of love. My people, what have I done to you? How have I burdened you? Instead of being angry, God's saying, what have I done? How have I let you down? How have I made it difficult for you? God is sad that the people haven't been obeying him. And then God tells the people, he reminds the people, this is what I did for you. Verse 4, I brought you up out of Egypt. Why were the people of Israel in Egypt? Does anybody know that Bible story? Why were the people there? Yeah. That's right. The leader of Egypt, Pharaoh, was using them as slaves. Do you think they liked to be slaves? No. And God sent someone there, Moses, to lead the people out, right? He tells them that. He said, I sent you Moses, right? Verse 4, and Aaron and Miriam. God provided. God took care of his people. And then the next thing he says is, my people remember what Balak, king of Moab, counseled. Do you guys know that story? That's an interesting story. There was a king, and he was worried because all these Israelites were marching past his land, and he said, aha, I have an idea. I'll go get this person over here to say curses on the people of Israel. And so he got this guy to come over, this prophet to come over and say some stuff. And when the prophet went to go curse the Israelites, what did God instead make him do? Does anybody know that story, Eveline? Yeah, you know it? He made him bless them. So they were trying to do something bad, and God turned around and made it into something good. That's what he did there. So God is leading his people out of slavery. He's protecting them. He's guiding them. And then he says, remember your journey from Shittim to Gilgal. Anybody know what that is? No. Oh, you have a guess? Yeah? Oh, that's right. It's a place. It's actually two places. It's a place over here and a place over there. Does anybody, if I ask even the congregation or the parents here, when I say here and there, what's in between them? Any parent even know the answer to that story? You got to come back next week for Cadet Sunday when we're actually talking about this verse. On this side is when the people of Israel, God was leading his people, you told me, from Pharaoh, out of slavery. And what was God going to lead his people? After they were in the desert for a while, they were going to go into a certain place. Does anybody know that? Oh, yeah, let's start. Go ahead. There was a river, that's right. He was going to lead them into the promised land. You know the name of the river? Somebody else who hasn't answered yet, the name of the river? Yeah, Riella? Nope, that was earlier, the Red Sea. Yes, the Jordan River. So Shittim was the last place over here. And Gilgal, the first place over here. And in between was the Jordan River. And guess how the Israelites crossed that river? Yeah? Yeah, that's the Red Sea one, yeah. So this one was the same thing, though, that God stopped the river and they went through on dry ground. So God, again, opened the door for them, took care of his people, gave them everything they need. So God is reminding the people, this is what I've done. This is how I've taken care of you. He's talking to the mountains and the judge there, saying, I've taken care of you. And you know how the people were living? You have your Bibles open. Turn back with me to Micah chapter 2. It's one page back. This is how the people of Israel were living in Micah's time. Right, I'm starting there at verse 1. Woe to those who plan iniquity, who plot evil in their beds. So they're planning to do bad things, and in the morning light, they carry it out because it's in their power to do so. They covet fields. What's coveting? Kind of wanting what somebody else has, right? So they covet fields, and then what do? They take them. They defraud a man of his house. Does that sound like the Israelites are doing good things? How about go to chapter 3? Look at verse 2 of chapter 3. You who hate good and love evil, who tear the skin from my people, who tear the flesh from their bones. Does Does that sound like good things? No. How about go to verse 11 of chapter 3? This is what the leaders, the people who are supposed to be leading the people. Her leaders judge for a bribe. Her priests teach for a price. And her prophets tell fortune for money. Good way to act, right? Really? That's a good way to act? That's not a good way to act. It turns out that this court case with the people over here on trial, that the people are guilty. They have not been living how God has called them to live. They're supposed to take care of the widow, the orphan, to care for people who are hurting, to help others. That's what they were called to do, and the people weren't doing it. And then look, if you have your Bible still open, back at chapter 6, verse 6. So the people know now and can remember that they've done the things that they are not supposed to do. And then they're like, well, what shall I come before the Lord? So they're going to now try to make things better. A burnt offering, a calf, a year old, rams. In the Old Testament, once a year, the people of Israel had to offer a ram. And it was to the blood of that ram was then to make atonement to pay for their sins. Now look there, if you have your Bibles open. How many rams were they going to offer? Verse 7, will the Lord be pleased with how much? Yeah, you've already answered lots. Let me ask somebody else. Yeah, it's good that you have your Bible open, Evelyn. Anybody else see what it says there? Verse 7, how many rams do they want? Yeah, thousands of rams, not just one. Tons. And then the next one, when the people of Israel had to make a sin offering, they had to take some flour and they would like bake it into a cake, and they'd put a little bit of oil into the cake, and they would kind of, it would be baked up on the altar, kind of like a little bit of a pie crust. And so they'd mix in a little bit of oil, kind of like you mix in like butter or margarine you ever do baking, right? Kind of with that kind of stuff. That's how they used to do that. And they used a little bit of oil. And then look at the next verses. How much oil are they going to bring? How much did you see? Yeah, read that, right? Thousands of, is it even just liters? It says rivers of oil. So the people here are being accused by God. God knows that they've done wrong. And what are the people trying to do? Oh, here, I'll take out my wallet and I'll pay you what you need so that you forgive me. Do you think that God, that's what God wants? He wants thousands of rams and he wants liters and liters of oil? No. No, that's not what God wants at all. What does God actually want? Do any of you girls know? Yeah, Lydia? Oh, yeah, you're getting ahead of me. That's right. He wants your heart. He wants you to choose obedience to him, to want to do the things that he has asked you to do. I know a Bible story happens way back in the very first book of the Bible. It's about two brothers. They grew up in a believing home. They were both into farming. One decided to become like more of a vegetable farmer. One was more gifted with animals, and so he raised animals. They both brought some of their things that they had grown and given to the Lord. The one brought a lamb, the other brought vegetables. They brought an offering to God. But God could see something. God could see their heart. And in the story of Cain and Abel, only one sacrifice was accepted because God was looking at their heart. Right? Or maybe you've ever studied, you know that long ago the people of Israel had kings. And God sent the prophet Samuel to anoint a new king after King Saul hadn't been good. And he sent him to the house of a man named Jesse. And Jesse had a bunch of really nice, good-looking sons. And Samuel was looking at the sons and went, oh, that one looks really good. And oh, that one looks really good. And oh, that one looks really good too. And you guys know what God was looking for there when he chose King David? Yeah. He was looking into David's heart. He wanted a man who would choose to follow him. God wants to have people that love him and serve him, not because they have to, but because they want to. You know what, girls? Sometimes the sad thing is that we can be a little bit like those Israelites. We can do the things on the outside that we're supposed to do. Yep, I came to church. I'm wearing my Sunday best. Oh, the offering, and some of you girls are going to help with that a little bit later. Oh, I put my quarter in the offering. I do all the outward things that I'm supposed to do. But is just the outward what God really wants? Does he want rams? Does he want thousands of them? Does he want rivers and rivers of oil? God wants your heart. That's what your theme verse is about. What does the Lord want? What does he require? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. That's what God wants. 1 Samuel 17 says, to obey is better than sacrifice, to listen to God's command better than the fat of rams. You know, girls, in just a couple of weeks, it's going to be Mother's Day. And when it's Mother's Day, do you guys ever, like, do something nice for your mom? Make her, like, a nice card, maybe help and make, like, a nice lunch or a breakfast for mom? You guys like to do those kind of things? Yeah. Now, do you do those nice things for your mom because you have to? Why do you do those nice things for your mom? Yeah? Because you love her, because you want to do nice things for you. When it's your birthday, do your parents give you, well, I guess I better get you a birthday present? Or are your parents excited to give you something? They're probably excited. And why do you think they're excited to do something nice for you? Because they love you. That's right. They want to do those good things. Girls, that's what your theme verse is about. To act justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with our God. Not because we get points with God, but because we love him and want to show that love by how we talk, how we walk, and how we act. We show that to God by what we do. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we're thankful for who you are and what you have done for us. Lord, in our Bible text today, we talked about how we could give sacrifices, rams, thousands of them, liters of oil, but Lord, a ram could never cover our sin. Lord, that we could never do enough to earn our salvation. Lord, that's why you sent Jesus. It's because he loved us. He chose to suffer and die for us. That's what Good Friday, that's what Easter was all about, that you not only came and suffered and died, but Lord, that you also rose again. Lord, that is the true message of hope that we have. And because of what you have done, Lord, we are now free to live for you. Lord, help us to live those free lives. Lord, may we choose to act justly. May we love mercy. May we walk humbly with you, Lord, not because we have to, but because we want to. Lord, may our hearts be turned toward you. May our desire be to live for you in all that we say and all that we do. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing a song of response, and I'm going to try to get the stand back for real in time. Our song is Lord, Whose Love in Humble Service. Let's stand as we sing that song.
Oh, Today's offering is for the gems. Let's pray. God, thank you for the GEMS program. We thank you for the women who volunteer their time to be leaders. We pray that you give them wisdom as they teach and lead the GEMS. We thank you for the GEMS and all the children for the light they bring into our lives. We pray that you help them to know you more. We pray that you bless our offering to GEMS. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Taisha, Eveline, and Riella for playing and for singing for us, Sarah for accompanying us, and Gems, thank you also for helping with the collecting, with the offering, with the reading and everything. I'm so thankful that you guys can also help and participate and be part of our service as well this morning. Just one last announcement before we head to our closing part of our service, and that's just a reminder, I forgot to mention it at the top of the service, is that our youth group tonight, our youth have a youth service in Sarnia, and they are meeting at the Kramer's Place at 4 o'clock today so that they can make it to Sarnia for the service at 5. We will still have our regular 5 o'clock service here, and if you are visiting with us and want to come back, we're working our way through one of our confessions, the Belgic Confessions, and looking at the Apocrypha this evening, so you are welcome to join us for that as well. And like I said, there is coffee and juice and fellowship in the hall afterwards. And if your children went off to Sunday school, you can find them from one of the classrooms and look for another parent if you're not sure where your child is. We'd appreciate it if you did take your children home eventually. Congregation, as we close out our service this morning, we're going to sing as a parting song, Let All the People Say Amen. Then we'll have the benediction, and unannounced after the benediction, we'll sing as a doxology, Blessed Be Your Name. I invite you to stand if you're able as we close out our service in song.
We are the same.
Brothers and sisters, in closing, these words from Numbers chapter 6. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you his peace. And all God's people say, Amen.